And the rest of us will look to the Lord for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning for Jesus, your Son, our Savior. And we're so thankful this morning, Father, that in the name of Jesus, there is redemption, there is salvation, there is justification, there is forgiveness, and there is power to break every chain that binds us, the power of sin that has held us down for so long. We are so thankful this morning for the name of Jesus. And I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that as we have come to worship you, that we would be able to set the things of the week aside and worship in spirit and in truth, and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God through these songs or through Scripture. Listen to your voice this morning, Father, as you draw us close. I pray, we pray for the names on the prayer focus. Lord, there's lots of them. So many folks afflicted with cancer and difficulties. We continue to pray for them and ask that you would be with them. Those in the care centers and hospitals and jails this morning, we pray for them and ask, O God, that you would draw them unto yourself and that you would help if they are in jail or in something else, caught up in addiction or sin, that you would help them to break those chains, Lord Jesus, by putting their faith completely in you, surrendering completely to you, and allowing the Spirit of God to lead them. Lead us. And so we lift them up to you this morning, Father, and say, Thy will be done. Thank you for everyone here this morning. Speak to us, Lord, as we have come to worship you. May you receive the glory here at this church and the churches all over our region, all over this nation. May you, O God, receive the glory. Save souls, transform lives, set captives free, break chains that bind, we pray. And this morning, Lord, as we talk about chains that bind us and sin that afflicts us, Father, help us to see that. If something is binding us yet and we're not aware of it or we're not addressing it, help us to see that and address it and get right with you. Guide us now as we continue our worship of you this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I turn to Scripture, I wanted to share with you a word from Jerry Coleman. Now, I know most of you don't know Jerry. Some of you met Jerry and Jan. They were here with us several years ago. They were missionaries from the Free Methodist Church to Hungary for a lot of years. They're not in that role anymore, but they are in mission-type work, and they minister to people literally around the globe. They are in India this week. I got an email from Jerry just a day or two ago, and I just want to share this. Listen to the way it is in other places around the world. Among other things, they're in Nagpur, India. They've been in several places ministering in conferences there. But he says this, "We thank God for the openness and receptivity of the pastors and leaders in these two meetings. Most of these pastors are first in their families to even become Christians. When we ask several of them, 'Why did you become followers of Jesus?' they simply said, 'He healed me.'" Hallelujah. "He healed me when no other priest, no other magic, or no other medicine could." Hallelujah. God is alive and well and working in the uttermost parts of the earth, brothers and sisters. One man, Jerry writes, now a pastor, said that he started reading the Gideon Bible someone handed him, and he decided to follow Jesus. The joy on these people's faces reflect their new lives, despite some of them having been forced out of their families and away from their villages. I share that with you to remind you that God is still at work in the uttermost parts of the earth. And I would encourage us and challenge us to continue to seek the face of God that he might be at work that way here also. Amen? The harvest fields are ripe, brothers and sisters, in India, Africa, the uttermost parts of the world, but they're ripe right here too. And we, his people, must be about the kingdom building business, praying and seeking his face and telling others of the love of Jesus. Oh, he loves people, and he wants people to come to him so desperately. Now, today I've chosen an Old Testament passage that I love so well. And I don't know why I love it. I think I love it because of Billy Graham. And a lot of years ago, I don't know if it was in the 70s or 80s, but I heard Billy Graham speak on this passage. I'm in Numbers 32, for those of you that want to turn there. Just one verse. But I heard Billy Graham speak this on this passage many, many, many years ago, and it just never left me. It shook me to the core, for starters, probably because I needed to address some things. But it just never left me. And so I'm going to speak from Numbers 32:23. That's where I'm going to be speaking from this morning. And if you're not familiar with that passage, I think you will be when I read that verse. But let me give you a little setting, what's going on there in Numbers 32. Moses and the children of Israel have been wandering for 40 years. They've worked their way up out of the wilderness on the east side of the Jordan. And some of the 12 tribes have discovered, this is pretty nice territory. I like it here for our cattle and our sheep and stuff. And so if you remember reading through Numbers and you remember this story that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they came to Moses and they said, we like it on this side of the Jordan. Do you remember the story? Some of you remember the story? Numbers 32, if you want to remind yourself of the story. So these 2.5 tribes come to Moses and say, we want to settle on this side of the Jordan. They were all bound for the promised land. We know that. And that was the goal. That was the anticipated prize. All 12 tribes were to go in and conquer the promised land. But these 2.5 come to Moses and said, we like it over here. Moses didn't care much for that idea, and he let them know that. You can read all about that in Numbers 32. But the long and the short of it is, they said, we will in fact go with you 9.5 tribes cross the Jordan. We will evict the inhabitants there as God has instructed us. We will help our brothers on that side get established, wipe out the folks that are there so they can inhabit. Then we're going to come back and we're going to reside over here. We will do that with you, they said. I give you all of that background so this verse makes some sense. So they said, this is what we will do. And Moses said, in essence, okay, that sounds reasonable. And then we get to 32:23 of Numbers. And here's what Moses said to the 2.5 tribes. If you do not do so, in other words, keep your word, what you have just said you're going to do. If you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Thus, the title of today's message, Sin Will Catch Up to Us. I don't know if you're familiar with this story or not. I don't know if you're familiar with this phrase. Familiar with this phrase, brothers and sisters? Have you heard it before? Have you read it? Has anybody like me a whole long time ago heard Billy Graham preach on this? Anybody heard that? Anybody remember that? Oh, it was good. It was good. I imagine you can look it up on the archive somewhere. I remember him saying over and over and over, this is probably 40 years ago, and I know some of you weren't even alive then, but you can still find it in the archives. Billy Graham kept saying over and over and over this phrase, and be sure your sin will find you out. And that spoke to me that day, and for years afterwards. I remember him preaching on this, and it just spoke to me. He was saying things like, sin will catch up to you. You cannot run away from it. You cannot hide from it. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so I've been thinking about that. And I've been thinking, in America, we've legalized sin. Are you still with me? We just talked about woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. And I've been thinking about this whole phrase that Moses spoke to the children of Israel and Billy Graham spoke on so long ago, and I've read it 100 times since. And be sure your sin will find you out. That could be me, an individual. It could be a church setting. It could be a nation. But he's right, I believe. I believe he's right. Legalize sin or not, I believe that sin will catch up to us. It'll catch up to us, an individual. I'm reminded, as I look around you, my brothers and sisters here today, and some of you have been hurt very deeply. Some of you have children going through hurts right now that are very deep. Perhaps sin has been involved in these hurts, but it has a way of catching up to us. And I could give you all kinds of examples in the Old Testament. I'll just give you a couple because I know you know what I'm talking about, but let me give you a couple. Adam and Eve had this relationship with God that was good. It was perfect. The setting was ideal. The setting was like, well, heavenly. And yet sin entered in when God said, don't take of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And within time and temptation, we know the story, and they gave in and they ate the fruit. And God found out. He knew, but he found out, and he expelled them from the garden. There were consequences. He told them there would be. And eventually they took of the fruit. And he cast them out of the garden. And now they would eventually die physically. He told them you would die. There were consequences. Sin caught up to them. And I think of King David and what a wonderful relationship he had with God from the very time that he was anointed shepherd over Israel, taken from shepherding the sheep for his dad, and how he would boldly stand before Goliath, the giant, and proclaim the word of the Lord. How his relationship with God was so good. And then we get to the point in 2 Kings 11, and we read the whole David and Bathsheba account. You know the story, right? I don't have to elaborate that. We know the story? This means, yes, I know the story. He had this good relationship with God. God had blessed him. He had all kinds of wives. He didn't need to sleep with Bathsheba. But he did. And when she comes along and tells him, I'm pregnant now, King David. He has, you know the story, he has his husband, her husband killed. I don't have to elaborate, I think you know the story. And as you read through that, it appears that David didn't give any thought to that sin against God. He just went on about life. And had Uriah put in the forefront of the fiercest battle so he would be killed, so he could take up Bathsheba as his wife, so it might look like all was well. And it appears he didn't give it any other thought. He'd crossed the line. He'd sinned against God. Twice. And then along comes Nathan the prophet. Tells him a little story. A story about a guy with a lot of sheep. And a story about a guy with just one little lamb. The long and the short of it is, I think you know the story. 2 Kings 11, if you don't. Sin caught up to him, the king of Israel. And there would be consequences for his behavior. The son that Bathsheba was carrying would die. I could give you a dozen more Old Testament stories. I think you get it. You know what I'm saying. Then there's the whole Old Testament theme of how Israel was told, follow God, adhere to His word, adhere to His commandments, and be blessed. Disregard them, and all kinds of ugliness will happen. The whole of the Old Testament is full of that. And be sure your sin will find you out. But I want us to think for a minute today, brothers and sisters, not about the Old Testament examples of sin, but about ours. About ours in America. About ours in the church. And about ours as individuals. Trying to cover it up will not do. David tried that. It didn't work. Adam and Eve tried that, hiding in the garden. It didn't work. Moses was right, and so was Billy Graham when he talked about it. Sin will catch up to us one way or another. Hoping enough time it'll just go away will not do. God doesn't forget like we hope others will. Our sin must be addressed. As I've said already last week, and I mentioned it already this morning, legalizing it isn't going to make it any prettier. What are the consequences of sin? I'll give you just a couple verses, one or two from the Old Testament and one from the New. Psalm 66:18 tells us one of the consequences. When the psalmist wrote, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," in other words, if I have sin in my life, not addressing it, not confessing it, not repenting of it, the Lord will not hear. So when it comes to our prayer life, says the same thing in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. Says exactly the same thing. If there is sin continuing in my life and I'm not addressing it, I'm ignoring it, hoping it'll go away, forget the prayer life, because the Lord isn't going to hear us until we've addressed the sin. Psalm 66:18 and Isaiah 1:15. We want God to hear us, and He will when we repent. And it's not that He doesn't hear us when we cry out to Him, even in our sinful ways. But He's not going to respond until we address the sin. And so there's two things I want us to... Time is getting away so quickly already. There's two points I want us to think about this morning. Number one, God is holy. Amen? God is holy. And sin will separate us from God. Sin will have consequences, short term like David and Adam and Eve, or long term if we never address sin. There is good news. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Thanks be to Jesus. There is good news. But if sin is not dealt with, it will lead to death, spiritual death and eternal separation from God. You say, Jim, I'm not a murderer, not an idolater, not a fornicator, not a liar. Remember, friends, Romans 5, through one man's sin, all have inherited sin. Do you remember that? Romans 5. We all find ourselves in the category of sin because of the Garden of Eden. So don't use the argument, I'm not a murderer. It won't hold up in court. We have all been born into sin, and at some point we must address sin and get off the path road, the pathway of sin, and get on the pathway of life. If we never address sin, we will be eternally separated from God. That's the long-term consequences. There are short-term consequences, which I just showed you some from David. A lot more in the Old Testament. And I said this last week, I'll say it quickly so I can wrap this up in a few minutes. Just because we legalize things in America, and we've legalized a whole lot of sin the last 50 years, just because it's being taught, or just because it's being celebrated, if God calls it sin, it's still sin. No matter how much we legalize it, sugarcoat it, and teach it, and celebrate it, if God said it's sin, it is still sin. And sin will catch up to us. And so I want to say this to wrap it up. I've already mentioned Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's long-term consequences. If I never come to Christ, repenting of my sin, putting my faith squarely in the Son of God, there are long-term consequences. It is death. It is eternal separation from God. Romans 6:23 also says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I say, hallelujah. If sin, friends, is what we're into, that's going to catch up to us, and there's going to be a price to pay, whether it's like David short-term or whether it's hell long-term. There's going to be a price to pay. And so I want to say to us, friends, before I tell us the good news and emphasize that for the little time I've got left, don't be fooled by the thought, I've gotten away with it this long, I can get away with it a little longer. Don't be fooled with the thought, if I ignore this, it will get better. If we continue in our sin and never come to Christ and never repent of that, there will be consequences, short-term or long or both. God is serious about sin. Now the good news. Because of the cross, because of the cross, because of the shed blood of Jesus, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, we've got to get to that point. If we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of the cross, we don't have to remain in sin. I say, hallelujah. But if we never address, if we never come to the cross, if we never come to Christ, sin will find us out. And let me say this, like I said a while back, I think when we were in the series Follow Me and I was talking from Romans 6, how believers should not continue in sin. Just because Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for sin, does not give us a license to keep sinning. It does not say, well, Jim, go do what you want to do. Church, go do what you want to do. Keep sinning, keep doing what the world does. It doesn't. Just because he dealt with our sin on the cross does not give us a license to keep sinning. And so I tell us this to conclude, friends. And I say this today because of a lot of different reasons. One, because of the turmoil our nation is in. Legalizing sin and all kinds of stuff. Because of the turmoil, church. When I say church, I mean the broad word of North America. The turmoil the church has found ourselves in. This word of God has not changed. And be sure your sin will find you out has not changed. And so whether it is a nation's corporate sin or a church's disregard for the word of God and choosing sin over the word of God, or whether it's me or you as an individual choosing sin over walking with Jesus, be sure your sin will find you out. And so as we get ready to sing this last song, friends, Jane, go ahead. We're going to sing this hymn. I want to tell you there's good news. There's good news. We do not have to continue in sin. We do not have to live in sin. We do not have to die in sin and be eternally separated from God. The good news is Jesus. We have to repent. I'd love to spend a lot more time on just the word repent. I love it when Peter in Acts chapter 2 or 3, when he was calling out to the multitudes, and the multitudes had heard him talk about Jesus, and they said, "What must we do?" And the first thing he said was, "Repent." Repentance means I've acknowledged I have sin in my life. Repentance means I'm going to turn away from that. I'm going to turn to Christ. I'm going to turn to the cross. And so, friends, repentance must be part of that equation of faith and believing and following Jesus. And when we repent, it's time to turn away. I love the word that Watchman Nee used when he talked about people coming to Christ and turning away. He uses the word concluded. I've concluded that life. That's all behind me now. And so, friends, I'm telling you, we've got to deal with it or it'll catch up to us. And if there's some kind of sin bogging you down today, you've got to deal with it or it'll catch up to you. The Bible assures us of that. Repent of it and turn to Christ. And if you're already a believer and still caught up in the habit of sin, repent of it. Get accountable with somebody else to help you grow beyond and conclude that. And walk in victory in Jesus. Sin has consequences. It'll catch up to you. And so if you're somewhere in that whole gamut today, caught up, repent and come to Christ, or repent and draw back to Christ, because it will catch up to us if we don't. If you're here this morning and you don't even know how to do that, Charles and I will be glad to pray with you, whether it's now or tomorrow or the next day or the next. But you've got to get right with God through faith in Christ and repent and turn away from the sin that bogs us down.
And before we depart, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this message today. That is, you've taught us in your scripture always to examine ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to work freely in our life, because we know each of us have different struggles or different temptations. So as we leave here today, empower us. May that sting just hurt a little more this week in those areas that we've become leisure and have ignored. For whatever reason, Father, bring to our attention those areas that we just need to pay a little more attention. And as Pastor Jim told us in his message, that we just need to bring that to conclusion and to put a period at the end of that sentence and move on, living a holy life that is pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.